Praise God. God is a good God. Amen. And Marvin stole my Rice Krispie joke. You know, it is kind of irritating a little bit. I know the snap, crackle, and pop thing. But Marvin did point out whenever he was up here, it wasn't as bad. Then the musicians came up and it got worse. So I'm not sure if that's something to do with them or whatever. But you know, let me tell you what I actually thought. I mean, this is sometimes, you know, sometimes I say what I think, and so I'm going to tell you how the Rice Krispie thing came on my mind. So I'm sitting there listening to praise and worship and hearing the snap, crackle, and pop and thinking, I haven't had Rice Krispies in forever. In fact, I haven't even had a Rice Krispie treat in forever. It's been a long time. And then it tells me, you know, but at least I can buy Rice Krispies anytime I want because they sell them all year long. Unfortunately, the cereal that I like, I like two cereals, Frankenberry and Boo Berry, they only sell those this time of the year, which is considered the Halloween season. I guess they're too scary to be on the shelf the rest of the months. And so, you know, it is kind of irritating that if you happen to like a cereal that's only available once a year, I actually tried to covet some and kept some at my office up there because many people actually brought them in. And lo and behold, this summer I went to go get some, and I guess there was too much moisture that came in, and my marshmallows weren't crispy. And so it's so my mom suggested this year to buy some and put them in the freezer. So we might try that. So anyway, has nothing to do with anything. All to do with cereal. But I'm just telling you what I'm thinking. Okay, just how it is with me. All right. Let me tell you how I came up with today's sermon or whatever we're going to call it. Not sure if it's a sermon. I asked my wife, I said, she was asking me, we're talking about different messages and things, and she was explaining a message that she heard on television that she thought was a really good one. And she asked, well, when's the next time you speak? And I said, actually, Wednesday night. And so my wife encouraged me. Sometimes I think she's my mom because she tries to tell me what to do, you know. But my wife encouraged me that I need to be encouraging, you know, I need to give you something that's going to help you get through the week, you know, one of these rah, rah, rah sermons or whatever. And so then I started thinking about it and I said, but isn't that the whole point of the gospel? I mean, the gospel is good news. All right, and I don't know if any of you watched the news today, but that hasn't really been good news today. I mean, some weirdo sent bombs to a bunch of people, you know. And here's the thing, you know, I don't care if you don't like some people, you don't try to blow them up, all right? Especially if you are a born-again Christian. Kind of goes anti to the story of the Good Samaritan that we've been actually reading with our class at Rhema. We've been talking about God's love, we're talking about the Good Samaritan. And, you know, and the Samaritans and the Jews didn't like each other, but the Good Samaritan, he had compassion upon the person he didn't like because they were hurting. You know, but the news has been bad news. But you know what? The gospel is good news. And really, in some ways, we need to rah, rah, rah our own self. We need to understand how fortunate we had it. You know, we have it. I was talking to a lady yesterday, and she was saying, she goes, I don't know how I could make it in the world without Jesus. And I'm saying the same thing. I don't know how would I make it without Jesus. But, you know, the great thing is I do have Jesus. And he does love me. And he does take care of me. Now, I want to begin my rah, rah, rah message with John chapter 3, verse number 16. All right. The really good thing is it says, John 3, 16, I'm going to go ahead and start reading. It says, for God so loved the world. So the best thing we know is that God loves us. God loves us. He cares about us. You know, and he loves us so much, it says that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so God loves us so much that he gave us Jesus. In all reality, God sent Jesus to fix what the devil had tried to do. The devil tried to mess everything up back in Genesis. And so a number of years later, God says, I'm going to fix it by sending my only son to be a sacrifice, you know. But one of the things before that Jesus was a sacrificial lamb, he lived on the earth, and he showed us how Christians should be and how Christians should act. And you know, and we, you know, a lot of people say they're a follower of Christ, but the Bible says we should be imitators of Christ. We should be like Christ. And, you know, the reason we can be like Christ is because we have the mind of Christ, or we should have the mind of Christ. And when you don't have it, then we need to put it on. But, you know, a lot of times people take the scripture, "For God so loved the world," and God does love the world. And they say, well, God loved the world that he gave us Jesus. So one day that we can live, you know, in the streets of gold in a mansion in, you know, heaven, you know, soon and very soon when the roll is called up yonder, you're going to be there. But you know what? That's not why Jesus came. He just didn't come just so that we can you know, one day, soon and very soon, have a wonderful time. And in fact, the scripture that I point out many, many times, and you've heard me preach from this scripture almost every time I come up here, John chapter 10, verse number 10, reading from the New Living Translation, says this: the thief, meaning the devil, the thief's purpose is to steal and to kill and to destroy. But my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. So meaning that we need to understand why Jesus came. He just didn't come so we might have a rich and satisfying life after we die. He came that we might have a good life while we live. And the thing about it is that whenever we're having a tough time, all we have to do is to turn to Jesus. You know, and a lot of times that we have not because we ask not. We don't ask him for help. You know, he wants to help us, and he's and I've often thought many, many, many times, you know, if I was Jesus, I'd probably get mad at everyone all the time. You know, because I'm thinking, man, I sacrificed my entire life so that you could have, you know, you could have all these good things, and you don't take advantage of it. Why not? I mean, you know, the thing is, yeah, the thief, he does come to steal, kill, and destroy. And sometimes, because he's trying to destroy our life, you know, we're going through a lot of stuff. But praise God, no matter how much stuff you're going through, we have Jesus Christ. Jesus, you know, he didn't come to this earth so that we can go through all this bad stuff. You know, and if you don't like what's going on in your life, then change it. You have the power to change it through Christ Jesus. But you know, really, there are a lot of really good scriptures, even in the Old Testament. Some people never read the Old Testament. I found that out at camp meeting whenever I asked. I said, how many of you guys have read the Old Testament? About four people raised their hand. No one reads the Old Testament, but there are good scriptures that really talk about how good God is in the Old Testament. And one is here in Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse number 4, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation once again. It says, "For the Lord your God is going with you. He will fight for you against your enemies, and he will give you victory." All right, and that's what we need to understand, is that whenever we're going through a lot of what we call bad stuff, when a lot of things are not going really, really well, God is fighting for us and with us. In the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy, he says he will fight for you against your enemies, and he will give you victory. Another scripture I like is actually not in my notes tonight, but it says, "No weapon formed against you shall prosper." And I point that out a lot of times whenever I feel the weapons are being formed against me. But a lot of times what happens when people get weapons formed against them, instead of thinking about how good their God is, they start having a pity party. They start freaking out. They start, what am I going to do? How am I going to make it? What are we going to do? But you have to understand that we're going to do what God's word says. You know, one scripture that I pray every time that I pray before I speak, I always talk about being a doer of God's word. Do you realize we have a lot of Christians that are a hearer of God's word, but they're not a doer of God's word? They know the scripture. In fact, I mean, you know, all their life they've been able to quote the scripture. I mean, they got lots of candy when they're in children's church because they can quote the scripture better than anybody else. But just because you can quote the scripture better than anybody doesn't mean you can do the scripture better than anybody. And it's not that hard to really do the scripture. Really doing the scripture is just letting God know, hey, man, you know, we're having some issues here. Can you help us? I mean, that's being a doer of God's word. Just saying, you know, the devil, he's kind of mean. But see, you know, the Jesus told us that 2,000 years ago, whenever he walked the earth, the devil's kind of mean. He's going to do things that are not going to be nice. He's going to try to steal, kill, and destroy. But you know what? The good thing is you guys have me. Now what goes on, that, you know, at this point, whenever he gave the scriptures to the disciples, you know, he was talking about he was there, you know, physically. But you know what? After he died, now the Spirit of the living God dwells on the inside of you. And so right on the inside, you have the answer to every question you might ever ask, you know, and because remember, you do sing that song every once in a while. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, there is no other. Jesus is the way. Well, the answer actually now dwells on the inside of you, because the Spirit of the living God now dwells on the inside of you if you're a born again Christian. And my watch keeps talking to me. I'm not sure. I don't know. It's kind of, maybe my watch is full of the devil. He tries. Siri keeps trying to interrupt my sermon. I don't know what it is. He's just being really irritating, you know, tonight. It's like the fourth time that Siri's tried to talk to me while I'm talking to you guys, you know. And it's hard to hold two conversations at the same time. Especially, you know, holding a conversation with Siri isn't no fun anyway. Half the time, Siri can't understand me, you know, and I have to go to Google and look it up myself. Don't know if it's really a smart watch or not, because it seems to be dumb half the time whenever I don't know if I just don't talk plain English or I don't know. You know, I got to watch it because sometimes I talk about Siri and she talks back to me. So praise the Lord anyhow. You know, but we do serve a God that's more than enough. A God that cares about it. A God that loves us at all times. You know, and a lot of times, you know, that is the issue. You know, we're looking for somebody to tell us something, to pick us up whenever we have the word on the inside. Now it says the timer. My timer's done here. I'm not sure what. I guess I set my timer when I was talking to Siri. I don't know. So it's just one of these frustrating things, you know. And we have this technology to help us, and now it's just, you know, hindering us. Good thing it was on silent, so you couldn't hear it, but it was over here, you know, buzzing my wrist like this, you know, so it was, like, irritating. But we have Jesus. We have everything that we need. You know, and when we don't have to go and have someone give us a rah, rah, rah sermon to make life better. What we do is we have to do what Paul told Timothy, to stir up the gift of God that's on the inside of you. Knowing that you know, that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. That we don't have to be afraid. That we don't have to, you know, be concerned. I mean, you know, I mean, it's concerning what's going on in the world, but you realize no matter what takes place, we're going to make it. We're going to make it. It's the people that don't know Jesus that have an issue. Because no matter what's going on, Jesus did not say, well, I'm here to help you as long as the right people are in power. All right? Or I'm here to help you as long as this doesn't happen, as that doesn't happen. No, it doesn't. Really what Jesus was saying in John 10:10, I don't care what's happening around about you. I don't care what situation is coming. I don't care how bad it is. Because understand, when someone tries to kill you, steal you, and destroy you, that's pretty bad. So what he's saying, it doesn't matter how bad it is. I'm here to be with you here on earth. And I think we need to get a hold of that. Jesus wants us to have a good time here on earth. Because I think sometimes people think, well, to be a Christian is not to have any good stuff. Is to barely make it. You know, and we have to sacrifice for the kingdom of God. There should be no sacrifice. I mean, we should be willing to sacrifice. But the thing about it is, I mean, how is it a sacrifice to serve God? I mean, you know, I always kind of joke, and you know, whenever I have a ministry trip that takes me somewhere close to the beach, you know, and I always, you know, sit down on the beach thinking, I'm sacrificing for Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You know, that's sacrificing. You know, I don't have to sacrifice. I just have to understand that I have somebody who's there to help me at all times. Another good scripture to help us. John chapter 14, verses 13 and 14 says this, And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So you know what? If you're having issues, just ask him to help you. He'll do whatever you need. There's nothing that you cannot ask for. Now, I should rephrase that. The only thing you cannot ask for is something that concerns somebody else's will. Besides that, if it doesn't concern anybody else's will, you can ask anything. All right. The reason you can't ask for something concerns somebody else's will because it's not fair for God to make them do something they don't want to do. All right. Because we're all free moral agents. But the point is, like I said, we have not because we ask not. Ask what we will, and it shall be done. Now, who do we have to ask? Doesn't say ask your neighbors. Doesn't say ask your spouse. It says ask Jesus. You know, and that's why every time that we pray in the name of Jesus. You know, and sometimes it seems that we're afraid to ask, but why not ask? That doesn't hurt to ask anything. I mean, it doesn't hurt to ask. You know, and it's interesting because some of us were real good at asking anybody else. I know, growing up, I mean, I never had a problem asking my parents to help me, you know, especially when I knew they had the wherewithal to help me. But the thing about it is, Jesus has all the wherewithal to help you no matter what you need. No matter how bad it is, all right? A few pages over, John chapter 16, verse number 33 says this. This is in red letters, Jesus speaking. He says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace." Now, I think that's really important. It says, "In me you may have peace." All right? Without Jesus, you don't have peace. But in me. Now, this is the key factor, and this is what helps us. Because, see, whenever we don't, when we don't renew our minds, when we don't have the mind of Christ, sometimes we don't have peace because we're not in him. We're not thinking like him. So when we don't have peace, you know, then what we need to do, the first thing we need to do is renew our minds, is understand who we are in Christ Jesus. And when we do that, the peace, according to Paul, that he says, the peace that passes all understanding will overtake you. Now, what does that mean? That means that you'll have peace, that it'll be so peaceful, you don't even understand why you have peace. No one else does either. There are going to be people that they can't understand why you're peaceful because of what you're going through. That's the peace that passes all understanding. But you know what? Here's the thing. I mean, I know people in the world are trying to figure out, well, how do I understand that kind of peace? Well, the Bible tells us that we can't understand it. So quit trying to understand it. Just let it happen. You know, I know people that are waiting to say, well, once I figure out what the peace of past all understanding is, then I'll try to have that. It doesn't really matter. I mean, you know, the thing about it is that you have Jesus. Amen. That Jesus already took care of everything 2,000 years ago when he died upon the cross. He's already taken care of everything, and he's given his name. And so, you know, we don't have to have somebody to come and rah, rah, rah us. We just need to get into God's word and read God's word. And that's why my grandfather always said, I'm a stickler for the word. That's why whenever you ask my grandfather a question, he'd always would say, well, what does the word say? And he'd either want you to tell him what it says or he will tell you what it says. You know, and that's the thing. I mean, you know, with me, I don't really give you a lot of opinions or whatever, unless they're talking about cereal or that kind of stuff, you know. But, you know, what I do whenever I preach, I just tell you what the word says. And that's what we should do, because that should be rah, rah, rah enough, because you know what? I have somebody that's here helping me in every time, in every situation. You know, whenever I'm going through the so-called storms of life, it doesn't matter what's going on. You know, nothing's going to move me because I know who I am in Christ Jesus. All right, but anyway, it says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. But it goes on to say, in the world you will have tribulation. So you know what? He was just telling us, you know what? The world is going to have bad things happen. All right, you're going to have, you know, we're living the last days. The last days, you know, it talks about famine. It talks about, hurricanes and earthquakes and all kinds of stuff. I mean, all these things, I mean, this are sign of the time. But, you know, Jesus says, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now, remember, we're supposed to be imitators of Christ. If he's overcome the world, then we've overcame the world. So no matter what's going on in the world, you know, we've already overcame it. We're going to make it. We're going to get through it. It doesn't matter how bad it is. You know, and I've heard people say, but Craig, you don't understand. You don't understand how bad it is. No, you don't understand how good God is. You don't understand how awesome it is. You don't understand how fortunate we are to know Jesus and how more fortunate we are that we have the greater one on the inside of us. All right, going on to some more scriptures that will help you whenever you need some rah, 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 pick me up stuff. Romans chapter 8, the New King James Version. Starting with verse 31, it says this, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And I like how my good friend Todd White, how he says the scripture, if God is for us, it does not matter who's against us. That's what we have to understand. We need to focus on God being for us. Because a lot of times we look at the things that we're going through and we're like, you know, if we want to say anything about God, you're saying, oh my God, how am I going to make it? And God's saying, oh my Craig, I'm here to help you make it. You know, that's the thing. I mean, if God would just talk back to you, maybe you would get a hold of it. You know, you're going to make it. You're going to get through it because you know what? You have God on your side. And we sing about that too sometimes, you know, God is on our side. You know, I always say if we would actually understand our music and the things, songs that we sing, maybe we'd get through the day. You know, but a lot of times we come and we, you know, we think, you know, music is just praise and worship, and we do that and we think it's only for a time, and then but we don't remember it whenever we're going through trouble. But we need to remember it. Okay, let's go down, because I don't have time to read all of Romans 8 because my time's running out. So we go down to verse number 37. It says this, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. It says that we're more than conquerors, not just a conqueror. We're more than that because, you know, God is always more than enough. You know, being more than a conqueror, that means whatever we're going through, we're able to conquer that. You know, but here's the thing. The only way we're not able to conquer it is whenever we let these things overwhelm us, overtake us. You know, so quit being overwhelmed and be more than a conqueror. You know, and I get it. We've all been there. I mean, I've been there. You've been there when for whatever reason, we have a pity party about our life, you know. But we have to understand, you know, sometimes at some point in time, you got to get up from your pity party and remember who you are in Christ Jesus. Jesus didn't come and die on the cross for you to have pity parties. He came and died on the cross so you don't have to have any more pity parties. You know, and like I said, once again, your people say, but you don't understand. No, you don't understand. You need to understand who we are in Christ Jesus. You need to understand what Jesus did for us. You need to understand. And the way we understand it is renewing our mind. That's why it's so important to renew our mind. If you think you're a legend in your own mind, you need to renew that. All right? You know, understand, you're only a legend whenever you have the mind of Christ. And then you can be a legend because, you know, through him. All right. Going on, this, you know, just want to read, it says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So there's nothing that's going to separate us from God and from his love. Now, you know, a number of times, the reason I believe the scripture is in the Bible is because there are a number of times the devil will try to tell us, well, you know what? You've just been too bad. You know, you're just too bad. I mean, God's not going to really care about you anymore. But no, there's nothing that we can ever do that's going to separate us from the love of God. He loves us in spite of any of our issues, any of our problems. And thank God for that. All right, you know, thank God that he loves us in spite that sometimes that we don't do things that are right, but he still loves us anyhow. There's nothing that we can ever do that can ever separate us from the love of God through Christ Jesus. He loves us at all times, and you need to understand that. That's why you can't have pity parties, because he still loves you. You know, and that was what Jesus was trying to show. He was trying to show forth God's love whenever he walked the earth. And, you know, and then we got songs about it, that Jesus loved the little children. We think, you know, when people grow up, Jesus don't love you no more. That's not true. Just because you sang a song, that's because you were a little child when you sang the song. So maybe now you need to sing, Jesus loves all the adults, you know, all the adults of the world, red and yellow, black and white, you know, whatever. But, you know, the thing about it, that's because you were a little child. But he loves you all. He loves everybody. He always does. All right, I need to hurry up, because we're getting the thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 57. All right, there's 57 verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, that's why, you know, understand, whenever we renew our mind and we start thinking like him, then we see that we're victorious. So when once again, when things don't seem victorious, renew your mind. See, it's up to you, because see, whenever you renew your mind, you start thinking victorious, because our God has given us a victory already. I mean, you know, how awesome would it have been to grow up, you know, and playing all these sports, and understand that every time that you walked on the football field, the basketball court, or whatever, the soccer, you know, field, that you win. I mean, that would be incredible to know. You know what? I can't walk on the field and lose. You know, that would be incredible. And because maybe you went to a high school or junior high or whatever, where you lost a lot of games, sometimes you put God in that same classification. Well, I go at these games and I lose. I've never tasted victory, so I don't understand. You know, but the thing about it is that what the Bible's trying to say, you know what, you can never lose. Because I'm with you. We cannot lose. I don't care, you might be the worst athlete in the world, but you still cannot lose. No, I'm not talking about a sporting event you cannot lose, but you cannot lose in life. All right, you know, you might not win a basketball game. You know, you're not going to turn into Michael Jordan just because you got saved. All right, or for some of you, you know, younger ones, LeBron James or someone like that, because, you know, some people think, well, you know, he's a better ball player than Michael Jordan. I kind of don't believe so. But, you know, we're never going to know, because, you know what, they're different ages, so you never know. It's just kind of like, you know, who cares? They're both great basketball players. That's all that really matters. You know, but the fact is that we're victorious all the time. Every time the devil tries to knock us down, we've already been victorious through Jesus Christ. All right. Skipping forward, because we're almost out of time. Just Philippians chapter 4, verse number 13, my mom's favorite scripture, the one she'll quote to you all the time whenever you tell her you can't do anything. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But, you know, sometimes we need to realize that you know, whatever it might be, you can do it. I mean, you know, sometimes, you know, people think, well, I don't do good in school. But the Bible says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You need to change your attitude. Doesn't matter what it is, you can do it. All right, skipping down a few more verses, and it says, verse number 19, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Do you understand? Both those scriptures are by Christ. In Christ, he's going to supply all your need. Now, you know, we take that for a financial need thing, but you know what? Sometimes what we need is not financial. But he'll supply that too. Whatever we need. All right, it's already 8 o'clock, but I want to finish a few more scriptures. I want to make sure you have these rah, rah, rah scriptures, so that way you can make it in life. 1 Peter 2:24, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we having died to sins might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. We've already been healed through Christ Jesus. You know, the devil tries to put sickness and disease on us, but you have to understand that you have already been healed by Christ Jesus. All right? All right. Few more scriptures. We're right in 1 Peter, so let's go to 1 Peter 5, 7. 1 Peter 5, 7. Give all your worries. This is the New Living Translation that says this. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Man, whenever you're concerned about something, you know what? Instead of being concerned about it, give it to God. It goes on to say, stay alert, watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith, remembering that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. You know, sometimes people, it seems that people don't realize that other people have the same problems they have. Sometimes they come to you and say, well, I'm sure nobody else has these issues. No, everyone else has the same issues. We have the same devil. All right? And, you know, and maybe he tries to attack us a little bit different or whatever, but the point is he's there like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour, but all we have to do is stand up against him, and we can. You know, and the thing about it is like I said, a lot of times people are worried about all kinds of stuff, but all you have to do is cast your cares upon the Lord. All right? We'll finish off with a scripture that I kind of already really said earlier, but I didn't say what scripture. 1 John 4:4, it says, you are of God, little children, and have overcame them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And you know, I believe, and I actually have a little a sermon called The Greater Mentality. See, we need to have that greater mentality, because understand that he that's in us is greater than he is in the world. There is nothing greater than Jesus. All right, Jesus is greater than the devil, but he's also greater than cancer. He's also greater than AIDS. He's greater than poverty. He's greater than lack. He's greater than everything. There is nothing that's greater than Jesus, and Jesus dwells on the inside of you. All right, and if we get that mentality that there's nothing greater than Jesus is greater, you know, that old greater than symbol that looks like a little, you know, alligator mouth or whatever you learned. And I know some of you probably were bad math. You didn't realize what that, but this is not X. Or, you know, this is talking about the greater than symbol. Jesus is, you know, and you know, you have also the greater than equal to symbol, but there's no equal sign. Jesus is greater than anything you want to ever put. Anything. It's a fill in the blank answer. So if you're going through any kind of trouble, any kind of tribulation, any kind of stuff, you need to remember whatever you're going through is less than Jesus. And you have access to Jesus. All we have to do, once again, is to renew our mind, is to start thinking how he thought, is start stirring up the gift of God's on the inside of us and realize, you know what, instead of having somebody rah, rah, rah us, we need to rah, rah, rah ourselves up. We need to pump ourselves up. Understand that we are the head, not the tail. Understand we are above and not beneath. Understand God has always already caused us to triumph, that we are more than conquerors. But you should tell yourself that all the time. You know, I don't really get down because I know that. Every time, you know, any day, I mean, I'm not saying that I don't have times or I don't have times when you open a bill up and like, oh my goodness, you know. But the thing about it doesn't matter what that bill says. It doesn't matter what the doctor says. It doesn't matter what anybody says. All that what matters is what Jesus did, and Jesus took care of everything. He's already paid it all. You know, and all we have to do, ask him, you know, just let him work. You know, and the thing about it is that we should spend more time puffing our own self up. And that's the thing. I have found out in life, if you can't pump your own self up, you're not going to make it. If you have to rely on somebody else to pump you up all the time, then you're not going to make it very far. But what I'm here to tell you is, you know, some people, you know, they tell their kids or whatever, you know, go give them hell. I'm here to give you heaven. I'm here to give you Jesus. And you already have him. And if you need to be pumped up, if you need something if you need to make it during the week, all you have to do is know who you are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand up. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful opportunity to minister to these fine people. But Father God, help us to understand, whatever we're going through is that Jesus Christ has already taken care of everything that we need. And you know, whenever we're feeling down, that all we have to do is just renew our mind and start understanding who we are in Christ. Jesus, understand that we are more than victorious. Understand that we have made it. We are making it. And Father God, we just thank you right now that you'll help each and every person here understand and remember some of these scriptures whenever they're going through the next time, whenever the devil is trying to seek them, to devour them, to destroy them. Help them remember that Jesus Christ has already came and they've already been made victorious in Christ Jesus. And Father, we just thank you for everyone that's here. And we thank you for just blessing them. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And amen. Well, praise God.